all the business of war. Indeed, all the business of life is the endeavor to find out what you do not know by what you do. That I call guessing what's at the other side of the hill.
The Other Side of the Hill. Two linked plays by Peter Luke, based on his novel, which follows Arthur Wellesley, 1st Duke of Wellington, and the men and women in his life, through his campaign in the Iberian Peninsula. With Michael Pennington as Wellington, John Moffat as Major William Napier, Dominic Rickards as Harry Smith, Philip Sully as Don Julian Sanchez, June Tobin as Madre Soledad, and Cyril Jenkins as Juanita de los Dolores. In 1807, Napoleon invaded Spain and Portugal and put his brother Joseph on the Spanish throne. At the request of the loyal people of those two countries, Britain sent an army to Portugal, which soon came under the command of General Wellington. For 5 years, from 1808 to 1813, Wellington fought the French back and forth across the whole peninsula, until in 1814, he finally succeeded in pushing them over the Pyrenees into their own country. Part 1 of The Other Side of the Hill, It's a Long Way from Talavera, covers the years 1809 to 1812. Our guide through the complexities of these campaigns is a man who fought under Wellington and who subsequently became the first historian of that war. Major, later General, Sir William Napier of the 43rd Light Infantry.
The 43rd Regiment, in which I had the honour to serve, was brigaded with the 52nd Light Infantry and the 95th Rifles to form what became the famous Light Brigade, later the Light Division. The Army of the Peninsula was rather like a large family, with Lord Wellington as the much-respected paterfamilias. Everyone knew each other, more or less, and friendships made on the battlefield often lasted a lifetime, as did mine with Harry Smith of the 95th. It is Harry Smith's remarkable story, as well as that of Wellington, that I now wish to tell. We will start, therefore, on a blazing hot morning in July 1809, with the British Army under Sir Arthur Wellesley, as he then was, having just won a touch-and-go battle at Talavera, about 70 miles southwest of Madrid. The Light Brigade, which included Harry Smith, had just arrived on the battlefield, through no fault of our own, a day too late to help our comrades in arms.
What do you see, Alex?
It looks like the Light Brigade arriving, General.
Are you sure?
I can distinctly see some green jackets.
Timely enough, I dare say. Let them take over the pickets and bury the dead.
Very good, sir.
Fall out now, men, but no one to leave the area.
Can we brew up, Mr. Smith, sir?
No, Corporal Frickett, you may have to move again.
Shall we smoke then, sir?
Oh, yeah.
If you've got any tobacco, Palmer, I'll join you.
Then why obey the call of nature, sir?
How can I stop you, Doubleday?
Downwind, downwind, chuck a stone at him. Even off, Frickett the bugger.
God almighty mighty. Them bleeding dead. Fazzles on them.
Just our bleeding luck if we get detail to bury them.
Corporal Frickett? Where's Mr. Smith?
I was here a moment ago, mate.
Message from the company commander. I company is on burying the dead.
Oh, what did I tell you? I come swimming now.
Corporal Frickett!
Sir?
We're on burying the dead.
We've heard, sir.
The sooner the better, then. It's getting hot.
Where are we, sir?
According to the map, Talavera.
Casualty returns are heavier than I thought, General.
Well, what about the French, Fitzroy?
About the same, sir, as far as we know at present.
Well, the French who aren't dead have gone away, and we're still here. So I think we can say we've won, don't you?
That seems a fair assumption, sir.
Sir, write me up a victory that we can send to Whitehall.
Here's General Crawford, sir. Good morning, sir. I've come to report the Light Brigade all present and...
Is you're a day too late, Bob?
I can see that, sir, but we wouldn't be here at all if we hadn't marched the last 62 miles in 24 hours.
Yeah, no more than I'd expect of the Light Brigade. But it's not a bad time to arrive. Our people here are quite done in.
I presume to relieve all pickets, sir, and I've given orders to start burying the dead.
Good, good.
And I've brought the dispatches from Whitehall, which you'll want to see.
I'm inclined to doubt that.
I have also brought you a letter from Lady Wellesley.
You saw my wife?
She gave it to me with her own fair hand.
Hmm. Trust she keeps well.
I believe so, sir.
Thank you, Bob. We'll keep till later.
Where do you plan to go from here, sir?
Since you ask, let me acquaint you with a bizarre situation.
Bizarre, sir?
Your Spanish General Cuenca travels on to, or should I say, near to the battlefield in a closed carriage drawn by 6, or is it 8, white mules. He never got out of his carriage for the whole of the recent action, except, I believe, to relieve himself. Now he's left the field with his so-called army. He's failed to blow the bridge at Arthur Bispo, and my flank's wide open. You ask where I'm going. I'm going back to Badajoz.
Badajoz?
Where else, pray? How otherwise can I protect our essential ports of Cadiz and Lisbon?
You mean to tell me, sir, that I have marched my brigade in record time under the July sun all the way from Lisbon to the centre of Spain, only to go all the way back again to Badajoz?
What do you consider a Commander-in-Chief's job to be, General Crawford?
To defeat the enemy, sir.
Precisely. And in order to do that, it is his first job not to lose his army. So, when my staff have had time to draw up plans, you will be getting your orders, General. Meanwhile, be so good as to look to the pickets and the dead. Good day, sir.
Sir.
Alex, see General Crawford to his horse.
Sir.
Fitzroy, here, take these damn dispatches.
Sir.
Your master's devilish crusty this morning, Gordon.
Did I hear you say you had brought a letter from Lady Wellesley, sir?
So I am taking advantage of kind General Crawford. Is he a Crawford of Balcarres, or one of the other family who spell their name with a U? Anyway, he kindly said he would deliver this personally to you, though I fear I have but little news.
Mm-hmm.
Alas, I have been suffering very much from fatigue lately, and I confess to a certain indolence about rising from bed in the morning.
Little news indeed.
I usually try to hear Arthur's catechism about noon when my new maid, Lucy, brings me a small posset of beef tea with a drop or two of Madeira wine in it.
What? Another new maid? What happened to the old one?
Dr. Fairchild considers it very strengthening for my nerves, which have been plaguing me. I think it may be due to the harassment of a number of odious tradesmen who have lately become very importunate.
Ah, ha, ha, now we have it.
Since you left for Spain, there seem to have been so many expenses.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Damnation, take it. Bloody kiddies, botch the accounts again. Fitzroy!
Yes, my lord.
My lord? What's this, my lord?
The dispatches included a copy of the Gazette. I have to congratulate you, sir. They've given you a peerage.
Have they, begone?
Indeed so. And your brother, Lord Wellesley, says you are to call yourself Viscount Wellington.
Does he so? Well, then I'd better do as he says. Are the horses ready?
Yes, my lord.
Nothing else I can do here. You will issue general orders and Crawford will take over the ground. So Alex and I might as well make a start for Badajoz.
Very good, my lord.
Fitzroy.
My lord.
When you were in London, were you ever acquainted with a young person by the name of, Harriet Wilson?
No. Certainly not intimately.
Good. Well, Badajoz it is then.
I remember well the house where Fitzroy Somerset and Alex Gordon were billeted in Badajoz. It belonged to a family called the Los Dolores de Leon, and it was lived in by two young ladies, chaperoned by an old housekeeper, whose parents had recently died. The house had a large patio in the centre with a palm tree in it, where the young ladies, Victoria and Juanita, used to entertain on warm summer nights. Among their young friends were some Tunos, student musicians who wore romantic 16th century costumes and who played traditional music. Juanita was still only a schoolgirl then, but what a dancer.
That's better than all that hoots-to stuff you do in Scotland, Alex.
Says the Sassenach.
You dance civilianas in Scotland?
Not exactly, Juanita. But we have a dance called Stripping the Willow.
Stripping the what?
Oh, very savage sort of thing. The Scots have only just emerged from the Middle Ages, you know.
Oh, I don't think Alexander is savage at all.
I think he's lovely.
Thank you, Juanita. Are civilianas all love songs, Victoria?
Oh, no. Not all, Alexander. Some are about horses or spring flowers. And many, many are in praise of Our Lady. We have a great devotion to Mary in Spain.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Sister Rosario, ask Juanita de los Dolores to come and see me, please.
Yes, Reverend Mother.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come in.
You wanted to see me, Reverend Mother?
Yes, Juanita, come in. Sit down.
Yes, Reverend Mother.
You have some British officers staying at your house, yes?
Yes, Reverend Mother. They're very nice. One is a milord, and they both work for General Wellington.
Hmm. What are their names?
One is Milord Fitzroy Somerset. He is a major. And the other is a captain from Scotland called Alexander Gordon.
Good. I'm sure your sister Victoria will look after them well, just as your dear mother, God rest her, would have done. But remember one thing, child. Your visitors may be very nice, but they are probably Protestants. And Christ the Lord founded one church and one church only. And it wasn't the Church of England. Or Scotland, for that matter.
Yes, Reverend Mother.
Were you in chapel saying the rosary just now?
No, Reverend Mother.
Why not?
I was playing, Reverend Mother.
Very well. But remember, it helps to say the rosary as often as possible. Our Lady always listens and never fails to answer your prayers.
Yes, Reverend Mother.
If properly said.
Yes, Reverend Mother. Is that all?
No. I sent for you because there is a priest here who wants to meet your friends, Captain Gordon and Major Somerset. I want you to take him to your house right away. His name is Father Julian.
Your sister Victoria is married to Jacinto Valdiana, no?
Yes, Father. He's with General Areathaga's army, but nobody knows where they are.
Oh, that's a pity.
How do you mean, Father?
That General Areathaga should not know where he is.
I don't understand.
Areathaga is not a very good general, Juanita. That's all.
How do you know, Father?
Because I know.
You're not at all like Father Antonio.
Oh, what is Father Antonio like?
He's pale and wrinkly, and he smells of incense and candle grease.
I hope I don't smell at all.
Yes, you do. Tobacco, saddle leather, that sort of thing. You don't come from around here, do you?
No, I'm from Saint-Eath, near Salamanca.
You don't look like a priest at all. You don't even wear glasses.
Are all priests born blind?
You'd look more like a priest if you had glasses.
I'd better get some then.
You got tay, post. Oh God, right, tap. Right, left, quick, march.
Is he one of those partisan priests we've been hearing about?
He's no more a priest than I am, my lord. He's a well-known guerrilla and a specialist in cutting out convoys and intercepting dispatches.
Cutting out liver and lights, more like. Sure the documents aren't forgeries planted by the French?
I've checked. Everything fits in with the facts, such as we know them.
Then it's worse than I thought. What do you say this fellow's name is?
Julian Sanchez. His nom de guerre is El Charo.
Hmm.
He was in the Spanish army, but got out.
Oh, small blame to him. Where is he now?
Round at our billet, my lord.
I'd like to meet this guerrillero. So, Senor Sanchez, your General Cuesta's out of the picture, then?
He was too fat, Senorita, to ride a horse. And now he's had a stroke, he can't move at all.
Mm.
His army has just melted away.
Well, I can't say I'm overwhelmed with grief. He let me down badly at Talavera.
And you know, Senoria, General Arriazaga gave himself up at Ocaña on the 19th. The French took thousands of prisoners.
Yes, I told him not to offer battle there. Well, that doesn't leave Spain with much of an army. With Cuesta and Arriazaga out of the way, there's only Albuquerque left.
And he is too rich to be ambitious, and too aristocratic to be political. He's brave enough, but he's only serious about horses.
That's something in his favor.
You like horses, General?
We all fancy a bit of bloodstock where I come from.
Where's that?
Ireland.
Then you are a Catholic?
That doesn't necessarily follow. Now, how many men do you have under arms, Sanchez?
Just over 200 at the present time. We straddle the main road to Portugal in the Sierra de Gata, just west of Salamanca.
Yes, I know perfectly well where you are. Are you mounted?
Well mounted, Senor.
I wish I could say the same. How do you manage it?
Each time the French lose a man, we gain a horse.
How do you say so? Tell me, Sanchez, would you care to become incorporated into the British Army? I could offer you a commission and your men would get pay and come on our ration strength.
Senoria, your men don't have enough to eat as it is. We would be taking the food out of your mouth. And I must tell you, we eat quite well. As for pay, we only have to ask, and the people of Salamanca give us all we need.
Yes, I take your point. But you surely have no objection if I were to offer you a cash subsidy to help towards the forage, saddlery, and the like?
A cash subsidy? Only a fool would refuse, General. But what are your conditions?
That in the next few months you stay in the Sierra de Gata, where you're ideally placed to play the devil with the French lines of communication.
What are you going to do, General?
Keep my own counsel.
You don't trust the Spanish?
I don't trust my own generals, never mind the Spanish. A Spanish general would rather suffer defeat than see the English winning battles on Spanish soil.
Pride and jealousy are very Spanish scenes, Senoria.
Mark my words. It may be you and I, Senor Sanchez, who will finally have the honor of kicking the French out of Spain. Yes! What is it, Alex?
There's a Lieutenant Smith of the 95th would like a word, my lord. He hasn't got an appointment.
Smith? Smith, who the devil's he? What does he want?
Something about greyhounds, my lord. He has a few himself and is very keen on coursing.
Oh. Well, send him in for a moment.
Yes, my lord.
Remember, Sanchez, you'll be hearing from me again.
Senoria.
Oh, by the way, senor, how many white mules did General Cuesta have pulling his coach onto the battlefield? 6, was it, or 8?
12, senoria. Goodbye.
12.
Lieutenant Smith, my lord.
Well, Smith, does your colonel know you're here? It's hardly protocol for a subaltern to approach the commander-in-chief directly, you know.
I know, sir. But Colonel Barnard said that if I could get in to see you, and if I wasn't scared of having my head bitten off if I did, well, good luck.
Did he indeed? Oh, you can tell, Colonel Barnard. No, never mind. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
What's the state of health at the moment in your regiment?
Not good, sir. A lot of men down with the ague. Mala era, they call it.
Mala era?
Because the Spaniards think it's caused by the bad air rising from the river. Mala aire, as they say.
Fitzroy!
My lord?
Let me see those sick list returns again.
Yes, my lord.
These are Dr. McGregor's figures up to the end of the month. Deaths from ague, 328. Sick from ague, 1,007. Oh. Sick from all other causes, only 79.
Damn it, it is ridiculous. These are the sort of circumstances that people at home, particularly in Whitehall, never take into consideration. Have you had it, Smith?
Not so far, sir. But I go coursing most days, which takes me away from the river.
Yes. Suppose you've heard I've got some new greyhounds out from England, eh?
Yes, sir. My friends and I, we thought you might care for a bit of sport.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'll come. On one condition.
Yes, sir?
No wagers. Some of you young fellows are far too fond of gambling. It'd be a pity to survive the campaign only to end up in Queer Street.
No wagers, sir.
All right then, Smith. Arrange time and place with Gordon. Good morning.
And we'll see what your English dogs can do, sir.
Damn saucy fellow. You know something, Fitzroy?
Hello?
He's got a point about mal aire, though. Why should my men be knocked down like flies just because those incompetents down in Cadiz want our presence on Spanish soil? Devil take them. And offend their own country if they can. They've ignored every bit of advice I've given them and lost two armies in consequence. I'm now going to put into practice a very simple plan I've long had up my sleeve.
What's that, my lord?
Have a look at this map.
Portugal. Torres Vedras.
Torres Vedras, yes. For the last 6 months, I've had the Portuguese fortifying the line of hills between the Tagus and the sea. Defended by us, and with Lisbon as our port, we will be impregnable, and we shall spend the winter there in comfort and safety. Fed and clothed by courtesy of the Royal Navy, we can cock a snook at the French.
And when spring comes...
And when spring comes, we shall wait for Marshal Massena to make a move. But we'll tell no one of this plan, Fitzroy. Least of all our senior officers. They're always writing to their whores in London or to the editors of newspapers giving away our secrets.
Very well, my lord.
And once we're behind the lines of Torres Vedras, we must find means of exercising and diverting all ranks.
Look at that devil, Jackman! Tackle him, Jackman! He really wants that pig!
Palmer's got it! Palmer's got it! Well done, the bomb-proof man! Any bets on Palmer?
I'll bet on 13 platoon, Johnny. It'll go to 13 platoon, you'll see.
Don't throw away your money, Harry. Oh, damn, Palmer's lost it. Oh, look who's here! Come to see the plebs at play, Cardo.
I thought to take the air and see what the fancy's up to.
Surprised you're not out there in the scrummage, Cardo.
Catching a greasy pig, not in my line, really.
The Colonel said he expected junior officers to participate.
It's not that I wish to disparage bucolic skills. On the contrary. It's just that I don't much care for pork meat.
Double day, double day. He's down, he's down.
Pigs floor double day!
Jackman's going for him again! Look! Jackman's got him! Yes, I think Jackman's really got him this time! What did I say? The pig goes to 13 platoon! Well done, Jackman!
Just look at that damn fellow! Sweat, grease, pig, covered in him!
Not a very edifying spectacle.
As other ranks were diverting themselves on the field of sport, the officers were preparing to treat their Portuguese hosts to a performance of Richard Brinsley Sheridan's A School for Scandal.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Your Joseph surface is excellent, Dan. Just the right evil touch.
Thanks, Freya.
Johnny, don't forget to keep that rather bumbling tone in your voice, right?
Bumbling, right.
Otherwise, your Sir Peter is splendid. Harry, dear boy, remember to have a good shave before tonight. Lady Teasel must be as alluring as possible. Any questions?
Yes, in Act 4, just before I go to hide behind the screen, does Dan Cardo have to get quite so close behind me?
Well, he has to be seen as lecherous as possible.
Yes, but he keeps treading on my damn skirt.
Well, look out for that, will you, Dan?
Yes, of course. Sorry, Harry.
Well, all right. If that's all, tonight's the night, and good luck to us all. Yeah. Oh, and just one more thing. No drinking before the show. Professionals never do.
We're not professionals.
All the more reason. Curtain up, 8 o'clock sharp.
Right, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
My God, Harry, I'd rather face Boney's cavalry any day than that audience out there.
Here, Johnny, have a drop of this.
What is it? Brandy?
The best. Took it off that chasseur colonel we captured.
But Freer said...
Devil take it. I need a bit of jumping powder.
Well, I suppose a drop of good stuff won't do any harm. Oh, God. Here we go.
Have another swig.
Thank you, man. I'm beginning to feel more confident about my lines already.
It's not my lines I'm worried about. It's my bloody skirt.
My lords, ladies and gentlemen, señoras e señores, it is with great pleasure that we present the Green Jackets players in a performance of A School for Scandal by Richard Brinsley Sheridan.
Heaven forbid, madam, that I should persuade you to do anything you thought wrong. No, no. I have too much honour to desire it.
Don't you think we may as well leave honour out of the argument?
Don't get so damn close, Carter.
Ah, the ill effects of your country education, I see, still remain with you.
I doubt they do indeed, and I will fairly own to you... You're treading on my bloody skirt. And I will fairly own to you...
That if I could be persuaded to do wrong...
That if I could be persuaded to do wrong... It would be by Sir Peter's ill usage sooner than your honourable logic, after all.
Do that again and you'll get my knee where it hurts.
Then, by this knee...
Hand,
which he is unworthy of...
Beg pardon, sir.
Death, you blockhead, what do you want?
I thought, sir, you would not choose Sir Peter to come up without announcing him.
Sir Peter? Oons and the devil!
Sir Peter? Oh, lad, I'm ruined.
Sir, wasn't I let him in?
Oh, I'm quite undone. What will become of me now, Mr. Logic? Oh, he's on the stairs. I'll get behind this screen, and if I... God damn it! That's my skirt gone, Carter! I'll kill you for this!
Wasn't me, I swear it!
You my skirt! I have warned you! You've got me!
Ladies and gentlemen... Ladies and gentlemen, pray a moment's silence. It seems our gallant Green Jackets have become involved in an engagement from which, most untypically, they have temporarily had to withdraw. Orchestra, be so good as to play God Save the King and let the curtain come down.
While we were at play in Portugal, the French Marshal Massena and his men were starving on our doorstep. And this is where Julian Sanchez and the other guerrilleros came into their own. With Massena's lines of communication stretched out over 400 miles, the distance from the French frontier to Torres Vedras, every Spaniard with a long knife or a blunderbuss could take his personal revenge on the hated invader. That, for the time being, took care of Marshal Massena, whom the peer regarded as the most formidable of Napoleon's marshals. There remained, however, Marshal Soult, who had suppressed all Spanish resistance in Andalusia. He was now free to turn north again.
What do you make of the news from Badajoz, my lord?
Marshal Soult's a crafty fellow, Fitzroy. He wants to turn me out of Torres Vedras by threatening Badajoz.
And shall you be tempted?
Tempted, yes. If he succeeds in getting inside that fortress, it'll be a costly business to get him out again.
It will indeed, sir.
But I shall not give in to the temptation, because if I do, Soult and Massena, who have double our force between them, will chop us like a fox in a cupboard. Let General Menacho stave off Soult, and I will starve out Massena.
I fear greatly for our friends in Badajoz.
I understand your concern, Alex, but the Spaniards must defend their own. Besides, I trust General Menacho. He'll not easily let the Frenchman in.
Do you mind if I smoke, Reverend Mother?
I quite like the smell of cigars, General Menacho.
Thank you. Now, please tell me, Reverend Mother, what if anything can I do for you?
If Marshal Soot should attack us, General, I want to know if you intend to fight.
To my last box of cigars, Madre. To my last box of cigars.
I am glad to hear you say so. Badajoz is a strong fortress. It would be something to show the rest of Spain that we can look after ourselves.
Why shouldn't we? We have stores aplenty. The militia are coming on well. It is only some of the regular officers I worry about.
Ah, with reason. The juniors are mother's boys and spurt brats. And many of the seniors with respect, sir.
It's the fault of the system. They get commissions through family connections and they are not trained in even the basics of military... military procedure.
But our countrymen are brave people. They are used to hardship. Why shouldn't they make good soldiers?
They might, under British officers.
Whom they would not understand.
The British understand discipline.
If you soldiers want to know the meaning of discipline, ask a novice nun.
Haven't I often said that what my raw recruits need is not a month on the barrack square under a sergeant major, but a month in the cloister under Madre Soledad?
I would have no difficulty with your soldiers, General. Women are far more difficult to manage.
And who are you informing of this fact, Madre? I, who have 7 unmarried daughters. Let me tell you, if I castigate one of my sometimes rude and often rebellious daughters for being rude and or rebellious, my wife comes rushing to their defense. Then my wife and I come into conflict, the daughters rejoice, and I withdraw from the field.
Perhaps some of them will end up in my convent.
Let us drink to that greatly to be desired possibility, Madre.
Oh, no thank you, General. One glass of your excellent manzanilla is quite enough for me. Besides, I have work to do.
And if there is a siege, what will you do with your nuns?
First, I will close the school. The children must take their chances along with their families. Some of the younger nuns must be left to take care of the orphans. The rest of us, we will put ourselves under your orders, General, to cook, to help in the hospital, whatever is required.
Ah, Madre, what a pity you took the veil. I'd give you a company to command any day if I could.
There's one little thing you could do for me, General. You know that the Los Dolores family.
Both parents are dead, yes?
Yes. And their farm has been destroyed by the French, all their olive trees cut down for firewood. They need money. The youngest, Juanita, is very bright and speaks excellent French. Can you find her a job in your office?
Send her to me tomorrow.
Thank you, General. Another thing, if the French do besiege the town, do you think we can expect help from the English?
General Wellington intends to win the war. He will only do whatever will help him to that end.
And then we must look to our own devices. But if the French do capture the town...
They will do so over my dead body, Madre. I promise you that.
My nuns and I, we shall pray for you, General.
Thank you, Madre. There's a great power in the prayers of nuns.
What will happen if the French take Badajoz, Vicky?
They won't.
How do you know?
This is one of the strongest fortresses in the whole of Spain, and General Menacho will never let them in.
But if they did get in?
They won't.
But if they did?
There's no point in thinking about it, Juanita.
You know what the women are all saying in the market?
I don't want to know what those stupid women are saying in the market.
They're saying that if the French take the town, all the women will be, you know...
Oh, stop it. Stop it, stop it.
I am sorry, Vicky. I am sorry there. Don't cry, please don't cry.
I'm sorry for being so silly. My nerves are bad. I haven't felt well ever since Jacinto went away.
Do you miss him?
Yes, I do miss him.
Jacinto wasn't very kind to you always, was he?
How do you know, Juanita?
Because I know. But if you miss him, you miss him.
You're too young to understand.
You think so? I understand everything. You forget. I spend much more time on our farm at Olivenza than you did. Miguelina and I used to watch the cows and the bulls.
How can you be so shameless, Juanita? Anyway, that's not at all what I mean.
Oh, yes, it is.
No. Let me try and tell you. I mean, all those times when I half wake in the night and I put out my hand to where he always is and there's nobody there. It's the familiarity, the comfort of having him there that I miss. Oh, who on earth can that be? Look out of the window, Juanita.
He's a priest. I can't see very well, but it could be that young priest, or what's his name? Father Julian, who was here before when the English were here.
What does he want, I wonder?
Perhaps he's taken a fancy to you, Vicky. What am I saying? A priest?
The shamelessness of you. Go and let him in. Oh, goodness, what a mess. My hair.
Hello, Annie. How are you, Freddy?
Very well, thank you, Father.
Is your sister Victoria?
Yes, she is. Please come.
Thank
you. Vicky, here's Father Julian to see you.
Oh, good day, Father. Come in. Won't you sit down?
Thank you, but I won't stay long. You're married to Jacinto Lariano, no?
Yes, he's my husband. You know him.
He comes from St. Heath.
Yes, that's right.
So do I. We were at school together.
Oh.
When I was last here in Badajoz to see Lord Wellington, Juanita asked me if I could find out about him.
Yes, you have news.
Yes, I have some news, but I'm afraid only of a negative nature.
Oh, please, tell me, Father.
Your husband's name is not on the list of those killed or wounded at the Battle of Ocaña.
Oh, thanks be to God.
But his name is not on the list of those taken prisoner of war, either.
Oh. Well, then you mean he is missing?
Yes. Jacinto Lariano would appear to be missing.
Change, Juanita.
Why not, Miguelín? It's been nearly 3 years since I was at our farm.
It's not just the 3 years. You know what I mean.
Anyway, you say your father and mother are all right?
Oh, yes, they're all right. Thanks be to God.
Tell me what happened.
Well, when the French first came to the farm, they slept in the outbuildings and started cutting trees for firewood. My father went to the sergeant and said they could have last year's prunings free, but not to cut the olive trees.
And did they?
They soon used up the prunings and started to cut the trees again.
What did your father do?
He went to the sergeant again. But the sergeant told my father he was lucky the French had come to free the peasants like him from the landlords in the name of liberty, equality, and fraternity.
Oh, your father would not have liked that.
Oh, no. He said that if robbing people's olive groves was liberty, equality, and fraternity, then the sergeant could... He then said something very rude about Bonaparte. And then the Frenchman hit my father across the face.
Juanita! Juanita!
Oh, no. Here comes the apothecary's wife.
Oh, Juanita, my child. What times. What terrible times. I hear the French have cut down all your olive trees and murdered everyone on your farm. How will you live now, you poor orphan thing?
It's not quite as bad as you like.
No trees, no olives, no oil, no money, no parents. Dear God, how will you live?
But I didn't murder him.
How will you ever find a husband? How will you ever find a husband now? Dear God above, what times, what terrible times.
What a cat.
Townspeople.
So, what are you going to do now, Miguelín?
I'm going to become a militiaman.
You?
Yeah, why not? I'm going to be attested tomorrow. I was on my way to the quartermaster stores to draw a musket and bayonet. I'll soon be on active service.
Look at you. Active service.
It won't be long now, I can tell you. They say some French cavalry are already west of the river.
Oh, Juanita. Oh, there you are.
Sister Rosario. Oh. What's the matter?
I've been looking for you everywhere. Madre Soledad says she wants to see you.
Me? What for?
I don't know, but she said it was urgent.
Very well. Goodbye, Miguelín.
come to the house when you get some time off.
No, I don't think you get much time off on active service, Juanita.
Well, good luck anyway.
Thanks. Goodbye.
I don't understand it, Sister Rosario. School is a closing. I have a good, well, quite good report. Why on earth should Madre Soledad want to see me?
I wanted to speak to you about your French, Juanita.
My French, Reverend Mother?
I have been talking to General Manacho.
About my French?
No, of course not. General Manacho asked me to recommend a reliable girl to help with secretarial work at his headquarters. I recommended you.
Oh, thank you, Reverend Mother.
Now, listen to me carefully, child. General Manacho is a brave and honorable soldier who is determined to defend this town to his utmost ability. But nobody can foresee the fortunes of war. And a man can only do as much as the materials at his disposal enable him to do.
I am not sure that I quite follow what you...
Let me go on. And I am speaking to you in confidence, Juanita, because I trust you, and because your mother was a friend of mine. I don't want my words repeated to anyone.
I promise, Reverend Mother.
You've turned out to be a pretty girl, Juanita. And I must warn you to behave with extreme discretion at all times.
But what has this to do with my French?
I'm coming to that. In the event of the French occupying this town, and I pray to God that it may never happen, you, Juanita, will be in a special position.
Oh?
Unlike most of your fellow citizens, you speak French. This has advantages and disadvantages. In the first place, French soldiers will want to talk to you. And they may say improper things.
No worse than the Spanish soldiers, I am sure.
Please don't interrupt. French laxity in morals is notorious and has got worse since the revolution. Some of the soldiers, particularly their officers, in their desire for communication with the opposite sex, may say indiscreet things. You follow me?
What sort of things, Reverend Mother?
I don't mean what you're thinking, Juanita.
Sorry, Reverend Mother.
I mean things relating to their army's dispositions, their future movements, pay, lines of communication. If by chance you should hear anything of this sort, I want to know at once. I want any and every scrap of information that might be of use to our army or to our allies, the English, in the fight to rid our country of its godless invader. Now, do you understand, child, what I meant when I said I wanted to talk to you about your friend?
Yes, sir. Who's that, Reverend Mother?
Tell me only one thing. The French.
The worst fears of the inhabitants of Badajoz were realized when, in January 1811, Marshal Soult marched north and besieged the town. No help could come from the British, who were still in Portugal holding off Marshal Massena from behind the lines of Torres Vedras.
Do you think the French will get into Badajoz, Fitzroy?
The pier doesn't seem to think so.
All the same, it's awful to think of our friends there being menaced by General Soult while we're unable to do a damn thing about it.
I appreciate your concern, Alex. Though I suspect it is primarily for a young lady called Doña Victoria de los Dolores de Orellana.
Don't remind me of Orellana, Fitzroy. I've already entertained some unworthy thoughts about the possibility of his being killed in action.
Perhaps he has been.
Stop it.
Extramatrimonial entanglements, Alex. They can bring down the best of them.
I know.
Look at Uxbridge. The best cavalry commander we've got. He has to go and elope, and now look at him. His career's in ruin.
So much the worse for all of us.
And there's the peer's own brother, Wellesley. Half his children don't know who their father is.
He seems to have got away with it, though.
I don't quite know how. And the peer himself is always going on rather coyly about that whore, Harriet Wilson.
It's rather touching, really. He's not at all a fornicator at heart.
I only hope she doesn't squeeze him for money.
What do demi-reps do that isn't for money?
Quite. Poor fellow, he's not at all well off, and Kitty's always getting into debt.
Pity about that marriage.
Well, yes, in one way. But looking at it another, he's really happy campaigning. Many senior officers out here spend their time fretting about their families or their estates and are longing to get home. others with attractive youngish wives are in a constant state of anxiety lest they're having the horns put on them. Not the peer. Mm. He's got his friends and his pack of foxhounds, and he's happy here. Huh? Hold hard there, sir. What's all the hurry?
I'm looking for Army headquarters, sir. Can you tell me where it is?
I can indeed. We're going there ourselves, if you care to come along.
Oh, thank you very much, but I'm in a bit of a hurry.
So it seems. Where are you from?
From Marshal Beresford on the frontier. I've got an urgent dispatch for the Commander-in-Chief.
Have you, sir? My name's Somerset, and I'm Military Secretary to the Commander-in-Chief.
Well, then you're just the man I want, sir.
Where's the dispatch?
In my haversack, sir. Won't be a second.
Stand still.
Do you know what's in it?
No idea, sir. Only that it's urgent. The Marshal had some news yesterday from Salamanca, brought in by a gorilla.
El Charro?
I don't know, sir. Here you are.
My God.
Hmm?
Come on, Alex, at the gallop.
Right.
Follow on, whatever your name is.
Ah, there you are, Fitzroy. Come in.
Sir, I'm afraid
I've just written to Mr. Hobie. Do you get your boots from Hobie, Fitzroy?
No, sir.
A lot of people prefer Lob, but Hobie does me well enough.
Yes, sir, I'm sure, sir.
I'm sick of struggling into Hessians. I've ordered a very simple boot. Straight at the top and loose round the ankle so that you can get in and out of it.
My lord, I have to tell you that Badajoz has fallen.
Hell and damnation. How? Why?
General Menacho was killed by a stray ball. Someone called Imaz took over who didn't apparently put up much of a fight.
Damnation, take it. I was counting on Menacho. With Marshal Soult sitting pretty on the frontier, Marcena can now hang on here for as long as he likes. Damnation! What's up out there?
Alex will attend to it, sir.
It's O'Malley of the Light Dragoons, my lord. He said Marcena's gone.
Gone? Gone?
Seems like it.
Oh! Send O'Malley in, Alex, and get me Generals Crawford and Stapleton Cotton here immediately.
Yes, sir.
So, Marcena can't have heard yet about Badajoz. What luck! When we cross the frontier this time, please God, we shall never come back.
Lieutenant O'Malley, my lord.
So, the old devil's gone, eh?
Cleared out bag and baggage, sir. They must have gone early in the night and built their fires up to fool our pickets.
How far did you patrol?
A good 15 miles along the Santa Rame Road, sir. But there's neither hide nor hair of it.
Thank you for bringing me some good news, O'Malley.
Sir.
Tell me, are you by any chance one of the Galway O'Malleys?
I am indeed, sir.
Ever get a day's hunting at Tuam or Lochre?
Any time you're out that way, my lord. We'd be happy to give you a day with the Blazers.
Well, if Marcena's broken cover, we've another fox to hunt now.
Wellington had literally starved out the French, and Marshal Marcena was now obliged to take the long road back to their strongholds of Alameda and Ciudad Rodrigo in northwestern Spain. Spring was now come, and the British soldiers were happy to be on the move again, though perhaps they had become a little slow and soft during the winter months in Portugal.
Oh, look! There's a golden oriole! It's very hard to catch sight of the devils. They're very shy birds.
This is the River Coa, all right.
Weird, those huge granite boulders. Look! There's a blue rock thrush. Hey, don't see one of those every day of the week.
Never mind the blue what you call them. It's that dirty-looking spalpeen over there I've got my eye on.
Where?
By the bridge there. He's no ordinary bog trotter, I'm telling you.
What do you think he's up to?
No good, I'll be bound.
Ambush?
Could be. Hold the patrol, Sergeant. Keep a sharp lookout.
Patrol! Halt!
Hello! Englishman!
Who are you?
Afraid! Come on! Don't be afraid then!
Cheeky bastard.
We're from Wellington's army! Who the hell are you?
We've been waiting for you, Englishman! Why you been so long?
Where are the French?
Gone! A long time! Maybe 12, 15 hours! You are very slow.
I'm going to punch this damn fellow on the nose in a minute. Look here. Just tell us who you are.
I am the special man of Dragoon Lance, Sergeant. El Charro. He who has much fame.
El Charro. Isn't that the guerrilla chapel?
Yes, I think so.
My chief is a good friend of General Wellington. He wants you to come.
All right, then. I'll come.
I don't know about that, Harry. My orders are to keep going till we see the Frenchers.
Then we better split up. You go on with the patrol. I'll go and visit El Charro.
Do you think that's wise now?
I don't know if it's wise. But he should be able to tell us a good deal about the state of the French. Besides, I want to see how they live, these guerrilleros.
I'm glad you have come, Captain. What is your name?
Harry Smith.
Harry Smith. I'm glad you have come, because it is necessary for me to talk with someone from General Wellington before you catch up with my sailor.
But I'm only on patrol. I'm not on Lord Wellington's staff.
No? But you can tell them.
Yes. I know one of his aides-de-camp.
Who?
Alex Gordon.
Good, I know him too. You must tell him that my sailor has been supplied with food and ammunition from Ciudad Rodrigo. So now he will stand and fight. Perhaps near here on the border. I think it will be at Fuente Signoro.
I'll tell him. Marshal Massena must be feeling a happy man now that Soult has taken Badajoz.
Taken Badajoz? Soult didn't take it, he bought it.
What?
You look surprised, my friend.
Well, I'm not used to opposing generals buying and selling fortresses.
You mean you have no traitors in your country?
Well, how should I know? Our country's not been overrun by the French. Well, at least not since 1066.
Right, my friend. And nobody can tell how people will behave until they have experienced it.
If Badajoz is the key to this campaign, as it seems to be, it's going to cost a lot of British lives getting the French out of it.
British lives? And how many Spanish lives are lost with every British victory? You British are always telling us we have no discipline. But when your people storm a town, they are worse, much worse than the French. It is their own allies they loot and rape and murder.
Now steady on. I know bad things have happened. But we're only fighting your bloody war for you because you can't do it for yourselves.
And because your politicians want to get rid of Napoleon. I know. Listen, we don't have our own king because Bonaparte tricked him out of his throne. We don't have any leadership because we don't have a government. Just a set of politicians playing their own dirty games. So we have to depend on you English who rape our women and plunder our towns.
What can you do? Our fellows fight like the very devil to capture their objectives. If they achieve them, those that are still alive, they go straight for the drink. In no time at all, they don't give a damn who or what they're fighting for.
What are you fighting for, Captain? What are you doing in Spain?
That's easy enough. I took the king's shilling. I hold the king's commission. I'm bound to fight whoever or wherever it is required of me.
I too was once a regular soldier. But that is not why I'm fighting now.
So why do you fight?
See, this earth. It's mine. And no French bastard of the great whore is going to take it from me. That's why.
Juanita? Juanita, I've signed the letters.
Yes, Capitan. Coming, Capitan.
Yes, Capitan. Coming, Capitan. My name is Jean-Pierre Sula. I have told you may call me Jean-Pierre, have I not?
Yes, Capitan.
Yes, Capitan. We work in the same office. Why all this formality?
It is necessary to be formal because you are the enemy.
What do you mean I'm the enemy? Do I look like an enemy? Do I have Spanish babies impaled on the end of my sword?
You are the enemy of the Spanish people, Capitan.
Idiotic. I am in the town hall of Badajoz, helping to administer the town, and you are in the town hall of Badajoz, helping me to help administer the town. Somebody has to do it. Does it matter whether it is the French or the Spanish?
Or the English.
Oh, yes. The English.
They were here, you know.
They were.
And will be again.
How can you say that? Nobody can predict the fortunes of war. Before the English can get back into Badajoz, they will have to defeat Marshal Massena, they will have to take the fortress of Alameda, and they will have to capture Ciudad Rodrigo. There is a convoy now on its way to reinforce Ciudad Rodrigo with men, food, and supplies of every sort.
Oh, really?
Yes, indeed. I must go and have my lunch. My landlady is very strict.
Ah, the apothecary's wife. She's also very mean. I hope she feeds you properly.
Oh, one must not complain in time of war, but you know we French are not accustomed to so many dried beans. At home we have...
Where is your home, Capitaine?
In Gironde. I live at Barsac, near Bordeaux. Oh.
You are married?
Certainly. We have a little boy, aged 4.
How nice. Now you better go for your lunch, or the apothecary's wife will be cross. I know what she's like.
I'll see you later, my little cabbage.
Now to tell Mother, surely then. Run. I must run all the way. No, I mustn't. No, I must not run, or it will look obvious. Oh, the apothecary's wife is always looking out of her window. With luck, she will be cooking her disgusting puchero for poor Capitzula. I don't want her to see me and say in front of him, "Why is it silly girl Juanita in such a hurry?" Oh, dear. I must look calm and casual and smile and look serious. Oh, dear. What a strain. And particularly now I'm in a state of sin. First, I was in love with a priest, Padre Julian. That must be a sin. Now I am in love with the enemy of my country, Capitan Sula, a married man. And that's a double sin. But I'm going to betray him. So does that cancel out the sin? Or does it mean that I'm not really in love with him? Oh, dear. I must go to confession. But there's never any time.
Be tranquil, child. Sit down and get your breath.
Yes, Reverend Mother.
There's seldom anything so urgent that one has to run. Not that it matters at your age. Now, what's the news?
There's a French convoy on its way with reinforcements for Theodore Rodrigo.
Who told you?
Captain Sola.
Good. What is the nature of the convoy?
An important one, I think. Men, food, and general supplies.
Which must mean ammunition and possibly pay for the troops. Very good, Juanita. Anything else?
Yes, Reverend Mother. There is something.
Well, what is it? Speak up, child.
Well, I think I am in a state of sin.
What sort of sin?
I think I have fallen into temptation.
What sort of temptation?
Carnal temptation.
Oh, is that all? Everybody suffers from that from time to time. It's all rubbish. If you've got anything serious to confess, see Father Antonio, whoever it is you go to. Priests are expert at that sort of thing.
Oh, thank you, Reverend Mother.
What is it, child?
Father Antonio.
Yes?
Well, I don't think he's really an expert. I mean, he doesn't look as if he's ever had a carnal thought in his life.
General Pakenham, my lord.
Ah, come in, Ned. Sit down. Tell me, have you had any problems with the commissariat, getting rations up and so on?
My men have been marching 20 miles a day on near-starvation rations. And when the food does come up, it's not fit to eat. Then, when the poor devils do a bit of scrounging on the side, you threaten to hang them for looting. To answer your question, if I could get my hands on that commissary, I think I'd shoot him.
Well, you'll have to take your turn.
How's that?
The commissary was in here 5 minutes ago, complaining bitterly that Bob Crawford had threatened to shoot him.
Well, if Bob says he's going to, he probably will.
Yeah, that's what I'm frightened of. I've written to my brother Wellesley to sort the whole lot out. He's quite well in at Whitehall, and he's a damn sight more diplomatic than I am. How about a glass of Madeira, Ned? It's quite well, considering the shaking up it's had.
Oh, good. Thank you.
You know, talking of Whitehall, reminds me of St. James's Park. A favourite place for taking the air of a young person by the name of Harriet Wilson. Oh, you know her, Ned?
Most certainly I do. Thank you. As does about every beau, buck, and dandy serving in the peninsula, not excepting my esteemed brother-in-law.
What? You know about me?
As does everybody between the Thames and the Tagus.
What?
Well, not everybody. I mean, not my sister Kitty, for example.
It doesn't shock you, then, that I've been unfaithful to Kitty?
Not in the least. The only thing that mildly shocked me at the time was when you came back from India and proposed marriage to her. No one was expecting it.
How's that, then?
Well, you had been 5 years abroad. You were under no obligation, as we in the family saw it.
I felt I was under an obligation.
But when you got back, Kitty was almost engaged to Lowry Cole. You could have left it like that, and probably Kitty would be Lady Cole rather than Lady Wellington today.
Well, I couldn't do that, Ned. Before I went to India, we had an understanding. By honour, I was obliged to repeat my offer of marriage when I came back. Surprise was that she accepted me.
Mm. For your sake, Arthur, more's the pity that she did. You and Kitty were never suited.
Yes, even our honeymoon wasn't a success. As I remember it, we spent most of the time playing music, scraping at our fiddles together.
Kitty has no great talent for the fiddle.
We must have sounded like two seagulls unsuccessfully trying to mate. But it was the nearest we ever came to passion.
One cannot be but sorry for both of you.
Well, it's nice of you to put it like that, Ned. As Kitty's brother, it would have been reasonable for you to have taken a less kindly view.
I'm just relieved that you and Lowry never came to calling each other out.
Oh, that would have been a novel way of deciding who you would have for a brother-in-law. Hey, Ned. Come in.
Good news, my lord.
Tell me.
El Charro has attacked an important convoy on its way to Ciudad Rodrigo and captured a lot of booty.
Is your source of information reliable, Alex?
A subaltern of the Rifles, Smith, is here now.
Oh, that saucy fellow who's always trying to lay hands on my greyhounds.
That's the one, sir. He was with El Charro at the time.
Oh, was he? Begod. Send him in.
Yes, sir.
You know, Ned, there are some people in this army who simply regard this campaign as a government-sponsored sporting tour.
I'm not surprised. The Commander-in-Chief sets them a pretty good example.
Lieutenant Smith, my lord.
Sir.
Sit down, Smith. This is General Pakenham.
I know the General by sight, sir.
Now, first of all, Smith, what the devil were you doing with Sanchez, or El Charro, as he likes to be called?
I was on patrol with the Light Dragoons, my lord. My colonel gave me leave to, because I speak Spanish.
Your colonel seems to give you quite a lot of license, one way and another. What happened?
Well, sir, we came across El Charro's men on the banks of the Coa. Don Julian expressed a wish to speak to a British officer, so I went. He was a bit prickly at first, but we got on all right in the end.
Yeah, tell me about the convoy.
Yes, sir. Well, in the early hours of Wednesday morning, Julian, that is El Charro, got an urgent message emanating from Badajoz, I think, that there was a large convoy approaching Ciudad Rodrigo under escort of a squadron of cavalry and a battalion of infantry. Julian decided to attack it.
And what business had you to take part?
Well, sir, under the circumstances, I could hardly say goodbye, I think I'll go home now, could I? So I went along.
Squadron of cavalry and an infantry battalion. Quite a tall order. I warned Sanchez against pitched battles. Oh, well, proceed.
By first light, we were in position near a quarry to the east of the town. Soon after, we saw the convoy approaching, cavalry in front, then a number of stores wagons, including one which appeared to be very heavy because it was drawn by 6 mules, and finally the infantry taking up the rear. Julian sent out a detachment of Charros. They can really ride those fellows.
Yes, go on.
They were to go and pull faces at the Frenchmen. The French cavalry immediately gave chase, and the Charros, pretending to be running away, led them beautifully into the quarry where we blocked them in. I don't suppose any of them got out alive.
Meanwhile,
sir, the commander of the convoy must have lost his head, because he ordered the stores wagons to make a run for it towards the town, while the infantry formed square to receive cavalry.
What then?
Well, we just ignored the infantry, stood there looking silly, whilst we galloped off after the transports, well out of musket range. Julian had a new cannon which he was very anxious to try out.
Oh, so he's going for artillery now, is he?
Yes, sir. Again, luck was on our side, because the third shot caught the big wagon full amidships and blew it up. It was the pay chest, full of gold coin. There was gold all over the place. A lot of coins got blown into the bodies of the drivers. In fact, the commanding officer of the convoy himself was riddled with doubloons. I'm afraid the Charos were not too nice about picking the coins out with their knives. He was dead by this time, of course.
Well, I'm glad about that. What happened to the infantry?
When they saw we'd captured all the stores, they just formed up and withdrew. I tried to organise a charge, but, well, with all that gold about the place...
Yes, quite. There are certain factors in war that Whitehall never takes into account. Ladies, loot...
And corrupt commissaries, I might add.
Yes, there may be one less by now. Very well, Smith. Go back to Colonel Barnard and tell him I'll second you to the guerrillas any time he wants to get rid of you.
Very good, my lord. Thank you. Mm.
Worth keeping an eye on that young fellow, Ned. He's got initiative and intelligence.
Mm. I've heard he's quite a gallant officer.
I'm sick of gallant officers. The army's full of them. What I need is a few more officers with a touch of cowardice and a lot more brain.
Why have so many of these coins got a black sticky substance on them, I wonder? 199, 200 gold doblones for the convent. How very kind of Don Julian.
What a lovely windfall, Reverend Mother. What are you going to do with it?
Oh, it is so much that one's doing, Sister Rosario. The lavatories are a disgrace. But the junior school needs new desks.
Oh, they do. Never mind about the lavatories, Reverend Mother. We're Spanish.
Lord Wellington finally caught up with Massena and defeated him at Fuentes de Oñoro, just as El Charro had predicted. Poor Massena, perhaps the best of Napoleon's generals, was ignominiously recalled and his place taken by the much younger Marshal Marmont. By January 1812, the peer had taken Ciudad Rodrigo, where, sadly, Bob Crawford was killed leading the assault. But this success now opened the way to Badajoz.
Please see who that is, sister.
Yes, Reverend Mother.
Juanita, I'm lovely.
It's Juanita de los Dolores, Reverend Mother.
Come in, Juanita. I've got some good news for you.
And I have got some for you, Reverend Mother. Ciudad Rodrigo has fallen to the English.
Oh, so you've heard already?
You mean to say you know?
I have just been informed of the fact.
Oh.
Sister Rosaria, would you please go to the refectory? And if the messenger has finished his meal, bring him here.
Very well, Reverend Mother.
Now, Juanita, how did you hear, Captain Sula?
Yes, Reverend Mother. The French seem very worried about the British advance. They are reinforcing everything and putting mines and horrible spikes and sharpened sword blades in all the likely places of attack.
So, now I have a surprise for you, Juanita. Huh? Come in.
Miguelín!
Oh, hello, Juanita.
Oh, I thought you were a prisoner of the French.
I was, but not anymore. Oh, I have so much to tell you.
Take your friend to the visitor's room, Juanita. You can have 10 minutes only because this young man must get back through the French lines before curfew. Now, off you go.
Oh, thank you, Reverend Mar. Come, Miguelín.
When we realized that the column was getting near Salamanca, we thought they'd probably put us in a prisoner of war camp there. So, it was now, or never. A few of us made a break for it that night, all running in different directions. You know, one poor bastard... Oh, sorry, Juanita. One poor fellow got shot. But three of us got away to the woods and walked all night. We had no idea where we were at the time. But I now know that we were in the mountains near Sequeros. There's plenty of water, but we had no food at all for 2 days and nights.
Oh, poor things.
Anyway, on the third morning we ran into a patrol of Charros who gave us food and took us back to their camp.
Ah.
When Don Julian found out who we were and where we came from, he signed the three of us on. I'm now one of his special messengers because I'm very good at getting through the French lines in and out of Badajoz.
It's wonderful that you are alive, Miguelín, and thank God for it.
Oh, it's so good to see you again, Juanita.
Do you think the English will come?
Do I think? Their advance guard is already across the Tagus, Al Alcantara.
Time is up, Miguelín. You have only 15 minutes before curfew.
Goodbye, Juanita. Oh, you are looking very pretty. Goodbye, madre. Thank you for the meal.
Thank you for your information, Miguelín. Go carefully.
I will.
Oh, Reverend Mother, Miguelín says the British are at Alcantara.
They are obviously going to try and recapture by the Hoth, then.
Is that bad?
If the French are going to defend the town and you say that they are preparing to do so, of course it is.
Why?
It stands to reason. The harder the battle, the worse it must be for us. But if the English should win, and we must hope they do...
You think they might sack the town?
If it is God's will that they sack the town, they will sack it. They usually do. In which case, we must offer it up to God as a penance for our sins.
Reverend Mother, I am frightened.
Console yourself with the thought that General Wellington and his staff were well looked after when they were last in Badajoz.
That's true. Oh, but Reverend Mother...
Kiss me, child, and pray to Our Lady to make you as brave as she was.
After a 20-day battering from our guns, on Easter Sunday 1812, the breaches in the walls of Badajoz were declared practicable. The scene was now set for one of the most savage battles of modern times. From every unit taking part, its forlorn hope, a storming party of volunteers to do or die, stood by to force an entry into this vital border fortress. But the French, under a resolute commander, were as equally determined to keep us out.
The breaches in the walls of Badajoz have been declared ready, and the assault will take place tonight. I'm calling for volunteers for the Forlorn Hope. The Forlorn Hope that's going in at the Trinidad Breach. Major O'Hare and Captain Kincaid are leading it, and Sergeant Prickett is with them, and I need 7 more men. Volunteers for the Forlorn Hope. Come on, 13 Platoon, let's have you.
What do you want to go and volunteer for, Pongo?
I just thought I would, that's all.
You must be balmy.
It's so bleeding cold here, I kind of fancied something a bit hot.
Oh, yeah. You'll be in for a hot place soon enough, volunteering for the Forlorn Hope. You'll be roasting for all eternity.
Ah, very poetic. But I'll be in good company, won't I?
What do you mean?
Well, I volunteered for you as well, didn't I?
You what? You volunteered for me? Nobody can't volunteer for nobody else. It's a private matter. It cannot be done.
Smithy's got your name on his list, hasn't he, though?
I'm not volunteered never in me bleeding life. Not for nothing, I haven't. Oh, God.
Captain Harry Smith, 95th Rifles. The breach and the ramparts were full of the enemy, looking quietly at us, although not firing a shot. As soon as our ladders were ready and the column in the very act to move, our commanding officer, Colonel Barnard, called out,
"Now, O'Hare!"
The very first shot from us brought down such a hail of fire as I shall never forget. We flew at the ladders and rushed at the breach. But we were broken and carried no weight with us, though every soldier was a hero.
I am Corporal Edward Costello of the 95th Rifles. For the second time, I volunteered for the Forlorn Hope. After having received a double ration of grog, we fell in about 8 o'clock in the evening. I happened to be on the right of the front section when my old officer, Major O'Hare, came up with Captain Johnny Kincaid, both in command of the storming party. A pair of uglier men never walked together, but a brace of better soldiers never stood before the muzzle of a Frenchman's gun.
Thank you.
now a multitude bounded up the great breach as if driven by a whirlwind. But across the top glittered a range of sword blades, sharp-pointed, keen-edged on both sides, and firmly fixed in ponderous beams chained together and set deep in the ruins.
A rifleman stood among the sword blades on the top of one of the chevaux de frise. We made a glorious rush to follow, but alas, in vain. He was knocked over. All were awfully wounded, except, I believe, myself and little Freer of B Company.
I am Quartermaster William Surtees, 95th Rifles, and was stationed on a little knoll just back from the Trinidad Gate. All sorts of arms were plain at once. Guns, mortars, musketry, grenades, and barrels of gunpowder thrown down from the walls, while every few minutes explosions from mines were taking place. Lord Wellington had also taken his stance upon this hill and appeared quite uneasy at the troops seeming to make no progress.
I saw my poor friend, Major Peter O'Hare, who saved my life at Fuentes de Onoro, lying dead upon the breach. Two or three musket balls had passed through his breast. I remembered his last words just before he marched off to lead the advance. He shook my hand, saying, "A lieutenant colonel, or cold meat in a few hours, Harry."
Officers of all ranks, followed more or less numerously by the men, were seen to start out as if struck by sudden madness and rush into the breach. 2 hours passed until these vain efforts had convinced the troops that the breach of Trinidad was impregnable.
His lordship now seemed to lose all patience, and aide-de-camp was sent to ascertain the cause of the delay. They flew like lightning, while the whole rampart round the town seemed enveloped in one flame of fire. At length, a dispatch arrived from General Picton, stating that he had established himself in the castle. This was cheering news to his lordship, who expressed very strongly the gratitude he felt for that gallant officer.
"Corporal Costello, I heard a cheering, which I know to proceed from within the town, and shortly afterwards a cry of, 'Blood and hounds, where's the light division?' I had been knocked off the ladder in the first rush, and there were dead and dying on top of me. I now attempted to rise, but found myself unable to stand. At this moment, I saw two or three riflemen moving towards me. One named Bombproof Palmer immediately exclaimed, 'What? Is that you, Ned? We thought you laddermen all done for.'"
Yet who shall do justice to the bravery of the British soldiers? Who shall measure out the glory of men like O'Hare of the 95th, who perished on the breach at the head of the Stormers, and with him nearly all the volunteers for that desperate service? Who shall describe the martial fury of that desperate rifleman who, in his resolution to win, thrust himself beneath the chained sword blades and there suffered the enemy to dash his head to pieces with the end of their muskets?
Now comes a scene of horror I would willingly bury in oblivion. The atrocities committed by our soldiers on the poor, innocent, and defenseless inhabitants of the city, no words suffice to depict.
Supported by Palmer, we proceeded in the direction of the marketplace. We entered a house that was occupied by a number of men of the 3rd Division. One of them, on perceiving me wounded, struck the neck off a bottle of wine and presented it to me, which relieved me for the time. Unhappily, they discovered the two daughters of the old patron who had concealed themselves upstairs. They were both young and very pretty. The mother, too, was shortly afterwards dragged from her hiding place. I will not dwell on the frightful scene that followed. Some other men broke into a local convent, and God forgive them, had their will on the nuns there.
Quartermaster Surtees, I went into a genteel house. The Spaniard told me the French quartermaster general had lived with him.
I told him I too was a quartermaster. Then he kindly set a bottle of wine and two glasses on the table. I sat down and drank nearly the whole bottle of wine while he fried me some eggs and bacon.
Too truly did our heretofore noble soldiers disgrace themselves, though the officers exerted themselves to the utmost to repress it, many who had escaped the enemy being wounded by their own men. Yet this scene of debauchery, however cruel to many, to me has been the cause of solace and the whole happiness of my life.
Look at those drunken sots. I'd kick their asses if I didn't know they'd turn round and bayonet me.
Last night's heroes, eh? Oh, look at that brute in women's clothes with a ham impaled on his bayonet. Wait till I catch them with their hangovers.
What can any decent Spaniard think of our people now? I hope the CNC hangs a few of the bastards. God, I feel as though I'd been to Donnybrook Fair.
Well, nothing broken.
No, I don't think so.
You've got two bullet holes in your cap, do you know?
Have I? So I have. My pockets are full of dirt. Look at my trousers. Covered in other people's blood. How did you manage to get away with it, Freya?
Well, at 5'2", I suppose one doesn't present a very big target.
come on. There's nothing else we can do here. Yeah. We might as well get back to camp.
I could do with a cup of tea.
If my man West hasn't got a brew on, he'll be returned to duty at the double.
Cup of tea, sir.
That's very welcome, West.
Here you are, Mr. Freer. You enjoy it while it's hot.
Thanks, West.
Oh, here comes Captain Kincaid, sir.
My God, Johnny. I thought you were a goner. Where'd you get that fine horse from?
One of the French. I saved him from being skewered by a drunken Connell Ranger. He gave it to me as a token of gratitude and esteem.
Who was he? An officer?
Yes, on the staff. Said he came from Bordeaux. Barsac or something.
You could call the horse Monsieur Barsac.
Tea, sir.
No, thanks, West. I think I've had too much brandy. Some drunken bastards from 3rd Division were trying to force old Nosey to drink with them.
Oh.
They were calling him Old Fellow, if you please.
Uh-oh, how did he like that?
Touched his hat with his forefinger, said morning, and rode on, as if he were going to breakfast at Doodles.
Cool devil.
Hey, who are those two women coming over?
They don't look like horse.
No, they seem to be coming here.
Good morning, gentlemen. You are British officer?
We are. 95th Rifles, ma'am. At your service.
Thank you. My name is Victoria de los Dolores, and this is my sister, Juana Maria, Juanita. We are trying to find our friends Lord Somerset and Captain Gordon. They live in our house when the English were in Badajoz before.
This is Captain Smith. He's a friend of Gordon's.
Good day, ladies. I'm sorry, I didn't hear your names.
Victoria de los Dolores and my sister Juanita.
They're looking for Somerset and Gordon.
I'm sorry to trouble you, but you see...
I wish I knew how to help you. They could be anywhere just after a battle. An army headquarters is at least a mile from here.
Then tell me, please, who can help us? Yesterday, we had a house. We had clothes, we had food. Now we have nothing. Nothing.
See.
2 months ago, the French destroyed our farm at Olivenza, and today the English have destroyed our house in Badajoz. And look what your soldiers have done to our ears.
Oh, dear.
They just tore our earrings out. We would have given them gladly, but they would not wait.
It distresses us very much to hear.
Indeed.
And my sister, too. Look.
They are worse than brutes, I'm afraid, when they get hold of the drink.
The truth is, it may take some time to find Captain Gordon or Lord Fitzroy Somerset. Meanwhile, how can we help you, ma'am?
You are British officer and honourable men. It is for that I am speaking to you. I am a married woman, and my husband is in the army of General Arizaga, but I have not heard from him for 2 years. I must go to Madrid to find out if he is alive or dead.
That could be dangerous.
For myself, I am not worried, but it is for my sister, who is only 14.
Only 14?
So, I have to find my husband, and I must take our old maid with me, because a woman cannot travel alone.
Of course.
But I must find protection for my sister, which is why I wish to speak to our friend Lord Fitzroy and Captain Gordon.
Certainly, we shall help you to find your friends. But meanwhile, you both need look no further for protection. I will guarantee it here and now.
Thank you. But when I go to Madrid...
There are women belonging to the regiment who would gladly take care of your sister. She could be given a tent to herself. God knows, there are empty tents enough after last night.
We could arrange that, couldn't we?
Well, I don't know. It's a bit irregular. I mean, we'd like to help. What do you think, Harry?
Damsel in distress and all that?
It's not good enough. What happens if, after Signora Victoria goes, we three get killed, wounded, or otherwise dispersed? It's quite clear what has to be done. Signora Victoria, there is only one way to guarantee your sister's safety and honour for the foreseeable future.
There is a way.
She must marry a British officer before you go. In other words, as soon as possible.
Marry?
But who would want to marry me?
I would.
Harry, old fellow.
Shut up, Johnny. Juanita. My name is Harry George Wakelin Smith. I'm a captain in the Rifle Corps. I would consider it an honor if you would consent to be my wife. If you wish, we shall be married immediately.
Juanita.
Please, Victoria. My name is Juana Maria de los Dolores de León. I can sew, and I can cook, and I speak good French. I am grateful for your offer of marriage, which, with my sister's permission, I accept.
But Juanita,
I will be a good and true wife to you as long as I live.
In It's a Long Way from Talavera, the first of two linked plays by Peter Luke, based on his novel The Other Side of the Hill, Michael Pennington played Arthur Wellesley, Lord Wellington. John Moffat, Major William Napier. Dominic Rickards, Captain Harry Smith. Cyril Jenkins, Juanita de los Dolores. Philip Sully, Don Julian Sanchez. And June Tobin, Madre Soledad. Major Lord Fitzroy Somerset was played by Christopher Good. Captain Alexander Gordon, David Bannerman. Corporal Prickett, Ronald Herdman. Rifleman Doubleday, Clarence Smith. Rifleman Jackman and Captain Freer, Mark Straker. Rifleman Palmer and Migueline, Neil Roberts. Rifleman West, Eric Allen. Captain Kincaid, Terence Edmund. Captain Sula and Lieutenant Dan Cardo, Alan Barker. General Crawford, General Menacho and Quartermaster Surtees, Brett Usher. Lieutenant O'Malley and Corporal Costello, Andrew Winkett. General Pakenham and Onyo, Colin McFarlane. Victoria, Emma Fielding. Lady Wellesley, Melanie Hudson. Sister Rosario, Teresa Stratfield. The music was composed and conducted by Tom Eastwood and performed by Paul Archibald, Richard Bengerfield, Adrian Brett, Charles Dickey, Bill Worrell, and Simon Weinberg. The Other Side of the Hill was directed by Glyn Dearman.